Turn with me, please, to the prophecy of Isaiah. Prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, and we'll read, please, from verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now turn with me, please, to the Epistle to the Romans. The Epistle to the Romans, chapter 14. We read, please, from verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died, and rose, and revived, that he might be Lord, both of dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now back to chapter 1. Verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, was hindered, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks, the Gentiles, and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, or Gentile. Now God will bless what we have been hearing, these portions of his word that we have read together. Now included in what we have read in our scriptures tonight, is the verse that God used in the awakening and salvation of my soul for eternity. That verse that is found in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It was through that scripture that God, by his Holy Spirit, revealed to me the simple plan of salvation. But I believe while there are those in our meeting tonight, and you're likely well acquainted with God's plan of salvation, you have never got to the place where you are willing to accept God's plan, where you are willing to see your need of God's salvation, because there never was a soul that understood their need of the Savior that didn't find him. There was never one that with honesty of heart wanted God's salvation more than anything else in the world that didn't find it. I'm convinced of this, that salvation is there for that individual who really wants the salvation of God, the salvation of their soul, more than anything else in this world. We've been reminded by our brother Bingham how that he came to that place where he desired it more than anything. The man that got saved before him, the same thing. That night made up his mind he was going to get salvation. And I'm convinced that if there are those in our meeting tonight, and you understand your need, and you see your danger, and you would like to be saved tonight, there's salvation waiting for you. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to save. I had to be brought to that place. I had to come to that very same conclusion in my experience. I haven't time to go over all the things that were on my mind in connection with the scriptures that we read, because we read in chapter 53 of Isaiah and verse 6 that every one of us have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And I was thinking of that little expression, every one. Every man and woman, boy and girl, that is not saved has gone their own way. We all went our own rebellious way until the moment that God stopped us in our wild career. We read in chapter 14 of the Epistle of the Romans that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. I know there's some Christians, and you may say, well, that's the judgment seat of Christ. That was in the verse previous to the one that we read. But we read, as it is written, a verse from the Old Testament scriptures, quoted by the apostle, and the apostle makes it very clear that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. God said that in Old Testament times, and every man and woman, every boy and girl is going to give account of themselves to God. There are those who may give account of the judgment seat of Christ as to the life they've lived as believers. But friend, if you're not saved, you'll stand before the great white throne, judgment of God. One day you will have to face God. And we want to make it very clear that everyone is going to have to give account of himself to God. Then we have read that word to everyone in Romans chapter 1. The apostle said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And every soul, friend, that is willing to rest on the work of Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary, everyone that believeth, is the power of God unto salvation. We can't save you. We would like to be able to, but we can't do that. But friend, the very moment that you're willing to rest on the Word of God, on the work of Christ, God's Word says it's the power of God unto salvation. And God's power is effectual in bringing a soul to Christ when they're willing to believe. I wonder, are you willing to believe tonight? Are you willing to trust Christ? I was raised like my brother in a Christian home. I didn't get along the way as far as he did. I didn't get out into the things of this world like he did. Although there were things that I did just as a lad that my parents would be astounded about if they had known what was going on. Because there were those times when he tried to get away from the home. Times when, in the quietness of the evening after we were supposed to be in the bed, that I would open the window, being on a lower floor, able to climb out, and away I went. And I had my little fling. Well, I was just a youngster at the time, and I didn't get into things that some have got into in this world. But one thing I knew, I was very sure of this, that I was a sinner, bound for hell. I knew that if I died in my sins, my soul would be lost forever. And there were times in my young life when I longed to know that all was well with my soul. I told a number of times parts of my conversion. But I remember sitting as a young lad in the Massey Hall in the city of Toronto. 1,500 or 1,600 believers sitting there in all those seats listening as the Word of God was preached. Men of God, some of them elderly men, in those days, they seemed like very venerable men to me as they stood there. I remember dear old Mr. Douglas, W.P. Douglas, with a beard that came down to his waist, and it wasn't there like some wear them today. He's the very appearance of the man that would put fear into your soul as you listen to him preach. And men like W.J. McClure, and men like Mr. McCackie, and other men who could preach the gospel. And as I listened to those men, I want to tell you, friend, there were times when I trembled in my seat, and I wondered if I died as I was, I knew my soul would be in hell. And I wondered if ever I'd be able to get God's salvation. There were times when I longed to have it. I remember sitting through a series of gospel meetings. Maybe some of the older ones would remember hearing about meetings in the city of Toronto, in the Brock Avenue Gospel Hall, when my esteemed uncle Albert Joyce and Mr. Herb Harris preached the gospel. And there were a number of souls that trusted Christ as their Savior in those meetings. I believe those who have heard Mr. Piercy tell his conversion, it was at the close of those meetings, after they stopped the next day, that God in His grace came in and saved our brother Piercy. And there were many got saved in those meetings. And I used to sit in those meetings, and under the thunderings of the judgment of God, and hearing about the love of the Savior, dying for sinners at Calvary, I longed to know my sins forgiven. Oh, I would have given anything to get God's salvation, but I couldn't seem to understand it. I would like to have believed, but I didn't know how to believe. They told us, look unto me, and be ye saved. And I used to try and look. How do you look? And I couldn't understand it. And the Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I wonder, how do you come? How do you come? And all these terms, they really all mean the same thing. It really means that you've got to come to that place where you look to Christ alone. But I tell you, in my young, rebellious mind, I thought I like to get a little older. I like to get out like my chums. I like to be able to do the things that they do. I like to be able to go to the theater. I like to get out to the dance. I like to get to the cards. I like to get into the world and have my fling. And after it's all over, then get God's salvation. Oh, there may be some in our meeting tonight, younger ones, and you're thinking, oh, wouldn't it be nice to get away from the restraints of home and be able to do the things I wanted to? That was in my young mind for many and many a day, just to get away. But oh, I want to tell you, friend, there came a time when God, by His Holy Spirit, began to deal with my soul. I've told a number of times how that I lay on a bed of sickness with a temperature of 106 degrees. They didn't have antibiotics in those days like they have now. And as I lay on that bed, I didn't really know that there was anything serious wrong. But the doctor came in to examine me. And after the doctor had taken my temperature and checked a few things, my parents were standing just outside the door of the room. And the doctor, I can see him yet, as he made his way to the doorway, he was shaking his head. And I thought, I wonder what's he shaking his head about. And when he went around the corner of the door, he said to my parents, there's no hope. There's no hope. I want to tell you, friend, that changed my thinking pretty quick. No hope. I said, what does he mean? No hope. I'm dying. And I turned over on the pillow, and I tell you, in a cold sweat, and I began to cry to the God of heaven. I said, oh God, if you'll raise me up from this pit of sickness, I'll get this matter settled. I'll get to Christ, I'll trust Him, I'll become a Christian. And I meant business with God that night, that day. No hope. I want to ask you, friend, younger one, or older one here tonight, if that was the edict for you, no hope, no hope. Like that man in Isaiah 38, thou shalt die and not live. How would it be with your soul? You haven't any guarantee that you'll be here tomorrow. No guarantee that you'll be here tomorrow. And I tell you, I fair trembled that day in that bed. If I die like I am, my soul will be in hell. And I thank God for believers. Oh, I tell you, the prayers of God's people. It was right at conference time in the city of Toronto when I was there in that bed. And they told me later on, after years later, of course, I didn't realize it at the time. They told me that all those old venerable servants of the Lord, every one of them that rose, prayed that God would save a young man from dying in his sins and raise him up and save his soul for eternity. And there are those in this meeting tonight, and God knows throughout these gospel meetings, prayers have been going up into the presence of God for your precious soul. Tears have been shed, and there have been those who have been crying to the God of heaven, lest your soul go down to hell. Friend, it's a tragedy for a soul to go to a lost eternity and to think of going down to hell after sitting under the sound of the gospel of the grace of God. Others getting saved, starting on the way for heaven and glory, and for you to land in hell. Oh, I tell you, that's solemn business. But thank God they prayed. God heard their cries. And God raised me up again. You know what happens? So often, when God is merciful, God raised me up, and it wasn't very long until I began to forget my promise to God. And I began thinking again, wouldn't it be nice to get away? Oh, I tell you, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Friend, God alone knows the heart. He knows what your heart is today. He knows if there's an honest soul that wants salvation more than anything else in the world. He knows. I wish we knew the thoughts of people. Maybe we could apply the gospel in a different way. We trust the Spirit of God leads to give the word that will meet your need tonight. I remember, and I've told this a number of times, even in these meetings, after letting these thoughts slip away for a while, God took away a little girl out of our home. I came down early in the morning, first one up that morning. We just remodeled the house. The stairs came down and they turned. And there was a landing there. And I stood early in the morning on that landing. And I looked down over at the fireplace, and in front of it was a little stand with a casket about 4 feet long, little white casket. And lying in that casket was a little sister of mine. And oh, as I looked at that little figure there, cold and still in death, oh, I believe she would have been a lovely looking girl as well as a nice person. Oh, she had seemed to have such a nice personality. Lovely golden hair, bright blue eyes. There she was, lying cold and still in the grasp of death. And I knew, friend, because I'd heard the word of God before, I knew that that little girl wasn't old enough to reject the Savior. And I believe that that little girl is in the glory. And every child that hasn't come to the age of responsibility. But you know what really struck terror to my soul was this. I said, if that were me, where would my soul be? Friend, I knew where I would be. I knew I'd be in the depths of hell, and I longed to be saved. I said, God is speaking to me again. Wasn't very long after that, another Easter conference, just two or three weeks after that, God dealt with me about my soul in that conference, and I longed to settle it. Oh, I don't know why it's so difficult. Well, I do. It's not the gospel. The gospel is simple. But what makes it difficult is that we are not willing to come down and take that guilty sinner's place. We are not willing to get desperate before God. That's why the Lord Jesus said, agonize, strive to enter in at the straight gate. And I believe when a person wants it more than anything else in the world, salvation is there. Salvation is there. Friend, I began to get to that place where I really wanted it more than anything else in the world. Just a Sunday after, maybe the second Lord's Day after the Easter conference that year, sitting at the back in the Brock Avenue Gospel Hall, I don't know how it turned out that morning or why it did, number of young people that we used to sit with at the back on Sunday morning. And oh, I tell you, that's a good place to be. I always like to exhort the saints of God to have their children at every meeting. Even at a worship meeting, sitting at the back, witnessing what is going on, quiet and observing what is taking place. And for some reason, I was sitting all by myself on the other side. I don't know whether I went there on purpose or the parents put me there. But it appeals to me now because I felt awfully lonely over there. I looked at those saints as they gathered that morning, somewhere in the neighborhood of 180 to 200 believers gathered around the emblems to remember the Lord. And I sat there and I felt poor and forlorn and forsaken and ungodly and on the way to hell. And I longed to be saved, longed to be saved. And I sat and I watched those saints. And that must have been a warm Sunday morning meeting. I mean warm spiritually, for the tears were running down the cheeks of many believers. And someone got up and they gave out that beautiful hymn 322 in our believer's hymn book. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and poor contempt and all my pride. When they came to the third verse, when you get a large number like that singing, they all softened their voices, toned them down, and they sang so softly. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? And again I watched, and there was hardly a believer with a dry eye that morning. And I thought, look at the saints. They seem to be enjoying it so much, it seems to be affecting them so much. And here I am without Christ and I'm on the way to hell. I said, oh God, I can't understand how to get it. I'll just have to go to hell. And then I began to think about what they were singing, about the man on the cross. And as I thought about the man of Calvary, hanging in agony and shame and suffering on the tree, I opened my Bible, and I don't mind mentioning it again, as we have before. I believe it opened at Isaiah 53, because we read there so often, on a Lord's Day morning, before we came out to the meeting. My parents always had a little time before they left to read the Scriptures, and it was something about the sufferings of Christ, either in the Gospels, or in the Psalms, or in the prophecy of Isaiah. And it opened at chapter 53, and I began to read down through, and it wasn't until I got to verse 6 that something seemed to arrest my attention. And I read these words that we have read tonight. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I didn't have to be told that that's what had happened to me. I turned my back on God. And I went on and I read, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I said to myself, what's that? And I read it over again. And do you know, friend, just as I had been thinking about that man that was hanging on Calvary, it dawned on my dark soul that all my sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And believing, I go free. Just in that split second, friend, I accepted Christ as my Savior. I said, that's it. He died for me. He died for me. Christ died for the ungodly, and that's me. I deserve to be in hell, but Jesus paid the debt on Calvary. And friend, my soul was set free. 16th day of April, 1939. Poor sinner bound for hell. I came into the knowledge of Christ as my Savior. I can hardly take it in. Next April, it'll be 50 years since God in his grace came in and saved this poor soul from going down to hell. I want to tell you, friend, it's the only way to live. There's been ups and downs in those 50 years. There's been sadness and heartache. There've been times of tears and there's been times of joy. But there's never been a day that I haven't been thankful to God that my soul was saved from hell. that I'll never be there. I'll be in heaven for all eternity. Just a short time ago, as we told the folk, we looked into that face of the dear mother who brought us into the world, taught us from her knee the Word of God, prayed for us day after day, often with tears. And I thought as I looked into that still face, my father stood there, and he touched her hands, and he drew his hand back quickly, and I wondered what was wrong. He shook his head. He said, "She's gone. She's not there. Gone to be with Christ." But oh, I thought as I looked, I had a little note from my son. And he told me, he said, "Dad," he said, "I don't very often see you weep. But," he said, "I stood there and," he said, "I saw you in tears. I want to tell you, friend, it touched my soul to think of a mother in her faithfulness. Prayed for me before I was born. Prayed for me every day afterward. And there came a moment when God answered her prayers and saved me by His matchless grace." Friend, tonight, He wants to save you. He's able to save. When you're willing, He'll save you. If you're willing to be saved, there's a Savior and He's waiting. We were telling about that dear man in English Point in Labrador, being drowned a little while ago, an elder in the meeting there, and just a little while before, I guess it was a little time before that, he stood at the casket of a young man, 18 years of age, perished in the country. Both Mr. Bingham and myself have mentioned him before. Dear Bucky Odle went into the country on his 18th birthday with his first legitimate case of beer and another fellow with him, got lost in a storm, perished in that storm. He had said to a young Christian that was coming to our gospel meetings just a day or two before, he said, "Do you believe all that stuff about the coming of the Lord and all that kind of thing that they're telling over there in the hall?" He said, "I certainly do." He said, "You mean you really believe that Jesus is coming?" And mockingly he said, "What flight is he coming on?" And there he is lying cold in his casket. Dear young fellow, 18 years of age. Miss Stanley George Buckle, this elder, stood there that day. He was one of a number who had gone out through the storm, back and forth across the hills, looking for that young man, searching. When he was finally found, he was gone. He stood there with tears running down his face, and he looked into the casket, and he said, "Bucky, I would have saved you, but," he said, "I couldn't find you. I couldn't find you." Friend, there's a Savior tonight, and He can save you, but He can't find you unless you come. If you'll come to Christ tonight, He will save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, and salvation can be yours. Oh, we trust there's a soul in this meeting tonight, and you'll make him yours. Listen to this word again. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, God laid on his Son, in the darkness and the suffering and the agony of Calvary, your sins and mine, he bore the judgment for us. Sins were laid on Jesus. You can be healed tonight. You can be saved tonight. Will you trust Him? Will you believe on Him? It's always a solemn time when you get near the end of gospel meetings. I want to tell you, there's a burden on our souls about continuing meetings. The plan was to stop 2 weeks ago. I'll tell you that honestly, because we had a return booking to go back. There's souls in the meeting tonight who have been coming out in those 2 weeks, and God knows the reason we've gone on is to see you saved. We would like to go on. I wonder Is there someone tonight and you're going to get the matter settled? Remember, it might be tonight or never. We've heard this is your time of visitation. Why not come to Christ? Trust Him tonight. He loves you. He's able to save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Shall we pray? Our God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow before Thee and we thank Thee for the privilege of opening Thy Word tonight. And again, reminding fellow travelers to eternity of the solemnity and seriousness of these eternal matters. We thank Thee, Father, for the twofold testimony to the saving grace of God. We acknowledge, Father, we're not worthy of the least of Thy mercies. But every one of us saved by the grace of God, we thank Thee unfeignedly for Thy grace and Thy love and for the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the salvation that we have found in Him. And unitedly, Lord, we would pray for those who are still in the darkness of their sin, that even tonight the light of the gospel might shine in and that there might be a sinner who will come to Christ. We ask Thy blessing. We give Thee our thanks. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now we're sorry we've kept you a few minutes over time. We'll sing a verse or two of 107. 107, sinner, how thy heart is troubled. God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion. Do not check that falling tear. Verse 2, Jesus now is bending o'er thee. Jesus, lowly, meek, and mild, to the friend who died to save thee, wilt thou not be reconciled? Oh, be saved. His grace is free. We'll sing the first and the last two verses, 1, 3, and 4 of 107. The meeting is over. Remember the meeting announced for Sunday night. And believers, Christians, pray that God will save precious souls. And we'll certainly give it earnest consideration, and we'll announce on Sunday night further meetings. 107, 1, 3, and 4.